You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. On this 50th anniversary of the death of President John F. Kennedy, commentator Gary Borders contributes his recollection of where he was at that pivotal time in history.
Like all of us of a certain age, I remember the moment I learned President Kennedy had been shot in Dallas. I was sitting in Mrs. Mahoney's third grade class in Allenstown, New Hampshire. She had left the classroom on that early Friday afternoon. When she returned, Mrs. Mahoney was crying. She wrote on the chalkboard, "President Kennedy is dead." Then she left again, leaving a dozen third graders sitting in silence. With my myopic vision, at first I thought she had written, "Principal Kenny is dead." That was the name of the fellow who ran the school. I wondered what could have happened to our principal. I realized what was actually written on the board about the time the bell rang. We were dismissed from school and told to go home. The usual group of boys walked home. Who had killed the president, we speculated. Surely it must have been the communists or the Cubans, someone remarked. I wonder if there will be nuclear war, another asked. As did school children across America in the 1950s and early 1960s, we had conducted disaster drills where we crouched under our desks, hugging our knees. My mother was home watching television. For the next 4 days, it seemed all anyone did was watch this sad spectacle unfold on TV. Kennedy was nearly universally beloved in New England, especially in the French-Canadian community in which I was raised, where most families, including us, attended St. John the Baptist Catholic Church. Kennedy dying in Texas had a special significance for my family. My paternal grandfather had moved to Longview a decade earlier. My earliest memory is of playing with a toy car in the aisle of an airplane. The plane was taking us to Dallas Love Field in the late 1950s. We were visiting Texas and my dad's parents for the first time. I wore cowboy boots to mark the occasion. Now, Kennedy had been murdered in Dallas, and some were blaming its hostile political climate for making it possible. 2 days after the assassination, my family was about to leave home to visit my maternal grandparents, as we did most Sundays. I stood in our living room watching television, waiting for my parents to come downstairs. I was watching TV as Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald in the basement of the Dallas police station. I called out to my parents over and over, "Somebody shot Oswald! Somebody shot Oswald!" At first skeptical, they soon realized it was true. Television had captured live the murder of Kennedy's assassin. My mother muttered something about the world going mad. It was hard to disagree. 2 days later, our entire school watched Kennedy's funeral on a television set up in the school cafeteria. As did most everyone, I felt saddest for the children, John and Caroline, now growing up without a father. Over the next 5 years, television brought a world of violence into our living rooms. The escalation of the Vietnam War meant thousands of Americans killed and wounded, protests at home, and a nation divided. In 1968, just 4 months apart, both Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy were killed by assassins. A few weeks after Bobby Kennedy's death, my parents moved us to Texas to escape the brutal winters and then sluggish economy of New England. For my generation, November 22, 1963, is our 9/11, just as an older generation remembers exactly where they were on December 7, 1941. I don't know what would have been different if Kennedy had lived and served a second term. All I do know is that Kennedy's death somehow changed all of us who were alive then, and it wasn't for the better. That much I know.
Commentator Gary Borders teaches journalism at Kilgore College. You can find him at garyborders.com. He comes our way every Friday morning at 7:35. Morning Edition continues in a moment.